Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2026, and we are reading in the Big Book, still in the chapter more about alcoholism. Today we're on page 41, the first paragraph, starting with, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed, ending with, unbearable mental and physical suffering. Today's readers are Kara L., who will read the text, Vanessa G., A Vision for You, and Anne S.C.H. is our backup. Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, May 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,493, and for Thursday, May 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,499. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Anne S.C.H. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make a 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Anne. I will now ask Lisa C. in New Jersey to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for the opportunity to serve. I pass.
Thank you for your service this month, Lisa. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. If you turn to page 41, the first paragraph, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed, ending with unbearable mental and physical suffering. I will now ask Cara L. to please start reading and then share with us. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater in California. I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner. As I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to my mind that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. That was all. Nothing more. I ordered a cocktail and my meal. Then I ordered another cocktail. After dinner, I decided to take a walk. When I returned to the hotel, it struck me a highball would be fine before going to bed. So I stopped into the bar and had one. I remember having several more that night and plenty more the next morning. I have a shadowy recollection of being in an airplane bound for New York and finding a friendly taxi cab driver at the landing field instead of my wife. The driver escorted me about for several days. I know little of where I went or what I said and did. Then came the hospital with an unbearable mental and physical suffering. I'm Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. And I love these ideas. And, I crossed the threshold of the dining room, and the thought came to my mind. It'd be nice to have a cocktail at dinner. But, and there's no, second thought of, this would be a bad idea. There's, it just sounded like a good idea. And that's how I get when I don't stop. When I'm not taking the time to connect with a power greater than myself, when I'm not doing my steps and my work and meeting with sponsees, all of a sudden I start going back into the belief that the ideas that just pop into my head, they're good ideas. And then I start acting, if I start acting on those ideas, I'm right back where he is, where how did I get here again? Everything seemed fine. Everything is going well. I used to think life has to be going awful and I'm compulsively eating because life can be great. Everything can be going normally. And then I stop doing the everyday things that I need because I think I got this. I don't think that there's trouble around the corner or that, I remember when I got married, and this is before I came into recovery, I dieted down and I was so thin and I had a dress made and then I had some more fabric for another dress. And my mother looked at me and she said, well, I wouldn't make that other dress yet because, and I was so appalled. I was like, no, I know the answer. I'm going to be this thin forever. I was 26. I was not that thin forever, right? In a blink, I was 50 pounds heavier, right, after the special day had come and went. So, you know, all that tells me is that my well thought out, my plans usually don't work out. When I get up in the morning, I go to my meeting, I'm of service, I have sponsees, I follow a food plan, I report to a sponsor, you know, I do all of those things and I connect with a power greater than myself, then things work out. And for today, I'm happy to say, God, please put in front of me anything you need me to do in this day. And I'm content with that. That I pass things.
Thank you so much, Cara, for getting us started. All right. Here we are. If you came in midway, first of all, let me tell you the one paragraph that we are discussing today. Page 41, we're continuing our journey with Fred. In the first paragraph on that page, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed, ending with unbearable mental and physical suffering. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharings every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share today, if it is your third day on either meeting, don't get to do both, I need your first name, last initial, and the state or country that you're calling from today. Who would like to share with us?
Pam B.
Pam, and where are you calling from?
Sorry, California.
Thank you so much. Who's with Pam? What? Nobody on this phenomenal paragraph? I thought you'd be all shouting at me.
I'll chime in. This is Jody E.
California. Thank you, Jody. Okay, someone has some music playing.
Heather Y.
Mute that music, please. I can't hear anything with that music going. Okay,
Heather
thank
y.
you. So I heard somebody from Texas. Who's from Texas?
Heather Y.
Heather, thank you. Sorry, there was some weird noise. Anybody else for this first lineup?
Lisa B.
Sherry.
Oh, sorry.
Lisa, go ahead.
Lisa B. from Florida.
Thank you. And who came in with Lisa, please?
Sherry H.M.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. in Washington State. And was somebody else coming in with Sherry?
Judith S. P.
Judith, I've got you, and then there's somebody else. Sorry?
Peggy W. from Wisconsin.
I've got you, Hedy. No problem. Sorry, it's hard when everyone talks at once.
It's Peggy. Peggy, not Hedy.
Peggy. Okay. Peggy, I've got you. All right, this is who I have. I have Pam B., Jody E., Heather Y., works to a good start this morning, Lisa B., Sherry H.M. with, I believe, a C., Judith S.P. and Peggy W. Is there anybody else who would like to join this first round of sharing this morning? Going once, going twice. All right. If everybody could mute, we will turn it over to Courtney J. And Courtney, where are you located?
North Carolina.
Thank you. All right. We will stop there for now. And we'll pass it over to Pam B. in California. Good morning, Pam. Please go ahead and share with us.
Good morning. Good morning, all. The streaming is peacock in the background. My name's Pam B. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and grateful to be with everybody who's here on the line. Thank you all who do service to make it possible. Wow, this is such a great paragraph. And I'm so thankful for Fred's experience and for Bill writing it down. And the things that stand out to me is it starts out with the word leisurely. And this is my experience. It's always like just cat leisurely, you know, and in whatever experience. And then that was all, nothing more. Like that's what my disease sounds like. That's all. That's all you want. Nothing more than that. And then I tell myself, look, I don't want to be a compulsive. I'm a member of Overeaters Anonymous because I don't want to compulsively overeat. But I also, I want to be able to eat like a lady. So what happens is I think, well, I can do it. Or it's like, oh, I don't want to anymore. I don't want to stop eating these great things or this wonderful experience with food. I just want to fit in my clothes. I want to, and this is going to, this, or I want to not hurt myself. I want to not be in pain. I want to not suffer from eating. So when the thought crosses my mind, it's like, well, this isn't suffering. This isn't, surely this, nothing more than this will, hurt. But that's the mental obsession and the physical allergy right there. It's like, oh, and before I know it, I am wanting not to live and can't fit in my clothes and not enjoying the company of others. We had company last weekend. They stayed at our house and they brought over some snacks and I've stolen food from them in their house. And so they've seen me over the years, suffer from this disease. And I said, they were saying, oh, you can have this. And I said, no, I can't. If I eat that, I will want all of it, yours, and I will go to the store. Or if I don't go to the store, I will not want to be here. I'll be gone. Like, I may be here physically, but I won't be with you. And by the way, I won't have any fun.
That's time.
It will not be fun. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Pam B. in California. Next, we're going to stay in California and turn it over to Jody E. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for your service. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you for the two shares I've heard already. It's wonderful to be here and to be reminded by Fred that things can be going well. There can be no clouds on the horizon. And yet, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition for some reason, the thought will recur that I can safely pick up my alcoholic foods and behaviors. So yes, like has been said, I have to continue to do the things that have gotten me recovered in the first place, which includes living in the steps, 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12, after having completed all 12, and carrying the message by sponsoring others, by giving service, by speaking up when there's a lull in the conversation, because this is what keeps me in fit spiritual condition. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's a tragedy, there's something disrupting my life, there's something bothering me, or I'm happy. If I'm not doing this work and doing God's work is what it is. If I have like a, God has given me a gift. God has given me the gift of recovery contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And my spiritual condition is maintained by doing God's work, by being willing to pick up the phone, by making outreach calls to newcomers, by giving service, by sponsoring people, by perhaps moderating a meeting. All of these things are God's work, and they really, literally are more important than the work I do to sustain myself in this world financially. Because without this work, I cannot hold a job. I am in the food, and I am committing suicide, slowly but surely. So very grateful to be here with you all today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. in California. Next, we have Heather Y. in Texas. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. This is Heather Y. in Texas. Thank you so much to all who do service for this wonderful, wonderful meeting. Very grateful to be with y'all here today. And I agree with everything that's been said. I don't really know how to add to it. The sentence, the end of the sentence in the previous paragraph says it was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. I know we've discussed that already, but and the thought continues to, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed. I think a huge part of this program for me is to remember the fight. I forget that I'm in the battle. Every mealtime is a battle, really. For us as food addicts, we food addiction is such a beast, isn't it? We can't put the food down. We have to keep eating to survive. So every meal is a frontline battle. And I don't want to be on the front lines all the time. I don't think anybody does. But that's reality for us. And I see myself in Fred. I forget that I'm on the front line. Always. and it's a gradual progression. And then the thoughts just come. And interestingly, my recent slips have been with my family, whom I do love. No family's perfect, so we do have stressors, but my family is a big stressor for me, which that right there, I mean, I don't want my family to be a stressor, so that's been a lot of coming out of denial. But just to realize that when I'm going into be with my family, I can't do what I used to do and, oh, I'm safe now, I'm just going to check out and let everybody serve me. No, I'm going into battle. So just to be aware that I'm going to the front lines, there is a battle, I have to be on my guard. And that doesn't mean to, you know, be afraid all the time, although I think healthy terror is a good thing because this thing is out to kill me. But just being aware that I am on the front lines, whether I realize it or not, and this thing is out to kill me. And our dear friend Fred here is a wonderful reminder of what happens when we do forget that we're on the front lines, even more constantly than alcoholics, I dare say. And that's what came to mind for me in reading this one. I mean, ultimately, the last sentence in his paragraph says, then came the hospital with the unbearable mental and physical suffering. Yes, I completely relate to that. There's so many episodes where I don't want to remember what I did with the eating and the purging and the everything else that came with that. I think that's all I want to share today. Thank you for listening. Pass.
Perfect timing. Perfect. Thank you, Heather Y. in Texas. Next, we have Lisa B. in Florida. Good morning, Lisa. Lisa, star one to unmute. I'm going to go to Sherry HM in Washington, and Lisa, I'll try you again after this. Sherry, would you like to share with us, please?
Hello, this is Lisa. Sorry, Lisa,
okay. Okay, go ahead, please.
Sorry about
Thank you.
That. Yes. What a great, great, important reading today that I've been abstinent a long time. I mean, I've been pretty easygoing abstinence, but it's been wonderful, and my connection with my higher power is the most important thing in the whole world, and this program is the most important thing to me. And just the mental like slip like that, how I can get there, and how I don't even, you know, I mean, I've been grateful. I think I had one. I've been really, really grateful with the food, with being connected, but. Just the idea that cross your mind, and you know, we all have these tools to call a sponsor or call someone in program so that the situation doesn't happen to us. But yeah, just to keep the retreat, I guess what I'm feeling is just to keep my spiritual connection the most important thing. Thoughts don't arise. I mean, sometimes what has happened is I'll watch a commercial and I get like, will it leave me? Like,
Lisa, you don't have a great connection. I'm not sure if you can move where you're standing, but you don't have a great connection.
Oh, thank you. Has that?
Try.
Is that better?
Try. It sounds like you're underwater. Yes, a little. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me go closer to the door. I just want to say that my connection is the most important thing in the world, and that hopefully that kind of a thing will keep those thoughts away. And my favorite line is, God can do for me what I can't do for myself. Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you so much, Lisa. All right, this time for real, Sherry HM in Washington State. Thank you, Sherry.
thank you, Susan. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for all of your service out there, to everyone who's helping with this meeting. This reminds me of, you know, life gets lifey all the time, good and bad. And I'm more aware of, you know, when I go to, let's say, fear, resentment, you know, self-seeking, shame. Don't do the shame train much at all anymore. I'm so grateful. But you know, the thought suddenly came to, well, it doesn't say suddenly, but it sounds to me like it's suddenly he gets this, you know, this thought. And I think for me, it's a good reminder of, like I heard in a meeting years ago, if I get this, you know, idea of some sort, I need to check it out with my sponsor, and I need to really, you know, check it out with my higher power, who I choose to call God. And because stuff is always going to happen, and this reminds me of me, because if a good thing, you know, used to happen, graduation of college or this or that, or going to a wedding, Christmas, all this, well, that would get me back into the food, because I would not be focusing on, you know, being present and the people. I was focused much more on, ooh, yummy, what can I, you know, pig out on today? And the buildup of emotions, though, is always the key, because it piggybacks onto the last paragraph. This time, he was doing great. He had that, you know, that confidence instead of that Godfidence, and being grateful to higher power, to God, you know, thank you that I'm doing well, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. It was more of a, like a celebration in his heart or in his mouth and in his stomach. So for me, those are kind of some really good lessons to remind me to do the 10 steps, to pick up the phone, the heaviest object in the universe, and, you know, to reach out to God and to others and really do those 10 steps. I don't always do it for sure, but I'm getting a lot better all the time. So I thank you and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry HM in Washington State. Next, we have Judith SP. And Judith, if you can share with everyone where you're calling from. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan, for moderating and always being available for service. Thank you, everyone, for being here. My name is Judith SP. I live in Maryland, truly grateful to be here, and just always in awe of the power of this big book and the language of the heart. When I heard the reading today, and thank you all for your shares, there were a number of words that came out, and if I had to summarize this paragraph in just a couple words, I would say self-will run riot. And I've been recovered for a short while now, and my self-will can run riot at a moment's notice. So when I sort of reflect on Fred, the thought, okay, my thoughts are not to be trusted at any length. The thought, I decided, it struck me. I remember a little bit of what went on, but not too much, and I just sort of zone out. But ultimately, every moment that I'm in self-will, it's unbearable mentally and physically. Thank you, God, the food has been quiet since I started in recovery. The alcoholic foods, I'd never want to put in this temple of a body that God created. But the mental thinking, the thinking, I can do this one time. I'll just suggest to that person that they really need to whatever. And then I get into disturbance, into demand, and then I'm off and running. So I have to be reminded not only every day, but very, very often day. Thank God, I don't think every second, but close to that, that God is in charge. And speaking to a fellow yesterday, having done a very difficult 10-step, she shared some of her reflection with me. And the five words that stood out to me is, I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. God does. I need to back off. And it's God's will. If Judith's will comes in, I'm just going to have unbearable mental torture and the effects of it. And I choose this moment, this day with you all, to let God be in charge, knowing I don't have the answer. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judith. Next, we have Peggy W. in Wisconsin. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Oh my God, I just love this. I love this whole entire chapter. I just want to start by saying I am so grateful to my higher power, because without him, I wouldn't be here. I firmly, firmly believe that. I've been struggling a little bit, you know, trying to keep my abstinence, and I know that when I ask for his help, I can get out of my own way. And when I do these steps, when I do the work, that's when it all comes to life. I have a few of my friends in this program that have been struggling and seem to be finding their way. And, you know, we talked about their abstinence and how they are doing. And I always get down on myself when I have a break. Like, I beat myself up to no end. And so with that said, I wrote this the other day. Whether it's day 3 or day 89, it's always day 1. Prayer for today. God, thank you for every mile behind me, every meeting, every prayer, every surrender, every fall, every hand that pulled me back up, and every lesson I had to learn the hard way. But don't let me live on yesterday's fuel. I can't live on yesterday's abstinence. I can eat yesterday's meals. I can't eat yesterday's meals. I can't pray yesterday's prayers. I can't borrow yesterday's surrender. I can't stand on yesterday's willingness. Today has its own hunger. Today has its own fear. Today has its own noise. Today has its own work. Keep me honest today. Keep me willing today. Keep me teachable today. No matter what number is behind me, remind me that today is still and will always be day 1, because today is all I have. Tomorrow isn't on my plate yet. You gave me today, and today is enough. Amen. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Peggy W. in Wisconsin. Next, we have Courtney J. in North Carolina. Good morning, Courtney.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Courtney. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. First, just thank you, everybody, who's doing service for this meeting. I am just so grateful for the Vision for You team and bringing the big book alive for me after many, many years of carrying it in the bottom of my book bag, getting all scratched up and whatnot, because it wasn't being read. Anyhow, so let's see. I don't have the book in front of me, but I'm thinking about the whiskey and the milk, and I used to make these breakfast bars, and I would, and they were good and healthy, you know. But then I would start to put the things that were healthy to some people in those bars, and slowly but surely I got to putting things that weren't healthy for anybody on top of the bar. So that's just a a reminder of the whiskey and the milk. What am I thinking too? Oh, thinking. So my first sponsor, I just love this. I carry it with me a lot. Thinking is not a tool. And I was a woman that used the tools a lot in the beginning. That was how I, you know, felt good. I felt good about using the tools because I was told to do that. And it was something probably where I could check off the boxes, you know. But thinking was not one of them, she'd say. And, you know, we have that chapter into action, not into thinking. So that's what I think about, even though now I get to say what I think about most often is you all. I get so much recovery from day to day with my phone calls. And throughout the day, I'm thinking and praying for all of us. And it's beautiful because I have a purpose. And then, like, I'll learn a situation of somebody, and I'll want to find out more about it and hear how they're doing. So that's where my thinking goes, is to people and prayer. And, I know what in the old days, in my sick disease days, my thinking was, I would say I was hijacked. I was hijacked by a thought. And you were not going to talk me out of it, so I didn't bother to call you because I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And it got so bad in my disease that I didn't care that I was hijacked anymore. I just wanted the food. So, that's what I have to share today. Gratefully recovered in North Carolina, almost able to tell you for 1 year, which is crazy miracle for this child who's a raging sugar addict. Okay. Love to all of you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, Courtney. All right. Before I take some more names, we do have some time left. Let me remind you where we are. We're on page 41. We're discussing the first paragraph. I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed, ending with unbearable mental and physical suffering. So if this is your third day, if you go to the early one and shared already today, can't double dip. But if it's your third day on either meeting, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning.
Hiya, P in New Jersey.
Hi, hiya.
Carrie W. from California.
Thank you, Carrie.
Janice K., Oregon.
Okay, I might have time for one or two more. I'm happy to take the names. I can't guarantee. Going once, going twice. All right, we've got Hiya P, Kerry W, Janice K. Hiya, good morning. Please start us off.
Hi, Susan. Hi, everybody. My name is Hiya P, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, remake and restrictor. I live in New Jersey now, although I think I'm on Colorado on the list still. And I want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous, or maybe you're new to this Overeaters Anonymous meeting called The Vision for You. Or maybe you've been in the rooms and struggling. I just want to welcome all of you and know that there really are miracles. And it doesn't have to be a fight. You know, the book says that we cease fighting. Anyone, anything, even alcohol or even food. I love these stories because just when you think, oh, I don't identify with that one, you know, then there's somebody else. And it's like, oh, yeah. But I identify with pretty much all of the cases that we've been discussing. But Fred is fascinating, right? Because it's like the thought crossed my mind and then I did it. And that's the moment in between, which, you know, one of our members who's a wonderful teacher of the big book talks about the broken bridge, you know, that I have a broken bridge in my brain that normally when, you know, my grandson, my little 2.5-year-old grandson is allergic to sesame. So he even knows allergies, right? He can't have it. So like, there's no way, no how we're giving that kid sesame or a few other things, right? There's just, he's going to have, you know, go into anaphylactic shock, right? So there's no, it's not like, oh, the thought crossed my mind to have some sesame. Okay, we'll give him sesame. It doesn't, it's not existent, right? Because the bridge is not broken. My thought comes and then it goes to my memories and my memories go, nope, not going to do that. But with this, it seems that that's broken, you know, that the thought crosses my mind, but then it's possible to just go do it. The good news is that as we work the steps, and the 12th step is that spiritual insulin that we need for what I call type one spiritual diabetes, right? My brain, that's just the way God made me, that I can't eat certain things. And for some reason I will continue to, you know, on my own, I can't stay stopped, and on my own, I can't stop because there's just something about me, right? Whatever that is, that broken bridge, it's like, if it were sesame, it's a different story, but that's not the way it is for me. And it's just like it is with Fred, right? A thought crossed his mind, and then he did it. The thing, though, is that he had liked what people said, and he thought about it, but he hadn't really worked this spiritual program of action and get to the 12th step, which, again, is the actual inoculation. And that requires, you know, a daily practice of spiritual connection, giving this program away to others, practicing the principles. Thanks. So the good news is it doesn't have to be a fight anymore. Thanks.
Thank you, Haya P. Next, we have Carrie W. in California, who's also moved. Go ahead, Carrie.
Good morning, Carrie W. from California. Thank you, Susan, for your service, and thank you, Team Thursday. Yes, I had the same experience when I was traveling last May, and you know, I went to my hotel and I leisurely dressed for the day, and I crossed the threshold and a thought came to my mind that I have to try some of these things that are out here. There's so much amazing food in France, and you know, and then the floodgates were opened and the disease took over, and it was another debacle. And you know, I've realized that I alone have no defense against the first bite. But with this program and a higher power, I do. And my sponsor, I know, travels all the time abstinently. So I know I'm going to be able to do it. I feel confident with this program and with the connection I have now with my higher power that I will be able to travel and stay abstinent. And then I won't be gaining 15 pounds and not fitting into my clothes and starting this horrible disease cycle all over again. Because boy, I am sick and tired of doing that. So I can relate with Fred. I had that same thought, you know, it just didn't seem like that big of a deal to have a drink or a bite. But boy, it is a big deal. And for some reason, you know, this is a cunning, baffling disease, and my brain will trick me. So I have to stay really close to this program so that I can have a beautiful life and be able to travel at all. So it's really good to be here, and I'm glad I'm reminded of this today. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carrie W. in California. Next, we have Janice K. in Oregon. Go ahead, Janice.
Thank you. This is Janice K., Oregon. Wow, really terrific shares. And I too find that it's a sad reality that I can't borrow yesterday's prayers and I can't borrow yesterday's recovery. There's no borrowing. It's not I sometimes say it's not a negotiable currency. I don't get to write out checks against a previous recovery and then withdraw what I need today. The thinking. Oh, thinking is an ongoing challenge. It sounds like something for many of us. And eventually we learn to realize that it really is a daily reprieve contingent on spiritual condition. And one of the things I treasure about this meeting is that I get to listen to and be with other people who struggle with this disease as I do. Sometimes I think I have exchanged the food obsession for a spiritual obsession. And then I think, you know, maybe that's okay. When I had a food obsession,
All I got was misery and grief and the ongoing reality of living in the same skin as someone who didn't like me. Now, maybe I have a spiritual obsession, but I'm happy. And I am thinner. And I have a higher power who comes to my rescue periodically. I think it's like a spiritual shield. I have to have my spiritual shield in place before I enter the kitchen. It's a dreadful thing, but I do. It's not dreadful. I love it. I get to hang out with a power greater than myself, and that powers my recovery. So thinking is not a tool. It says on page 85 that one of the first things we need to do in the morning, I lied, it's 86. We ask God to direct our thinking, asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. So yes, can I trust my great brain? If I have given it to my higher powers, control first. Okay, thank you for listening, iPad.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing. All right, we have about 90 seconds. Who wants it? If you're shy, it's a good time. Or we'll just have more time to gather names for sponsors and new people needing them.
I'll share.
Go ahead. This is
Marianne from Michigan.
Marianne.
Thank you. So grateful to be on this meeting. And the line that says the thought crossed my mind, I have that highlighted and put in a big black square, like the medications have to do when there's danger, a black box. And mine has to be a black box for me. The thought crossed my mind. And that's the key to just about every mistake I make. So I'm grateful to be on this meeting with all of you, and thanks so much for your shares. I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, well, here we are at the end of the month, so I would be remiss if I didn't thank Team May, Cara L, Vanessa G, and SCH. Please stay on with Jody E and Leslie M, especially if you need a sponsor or you are available. And thank you also to Claudia C. and Lisa C. for reading the Steps and Traditions this month. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Vanessa G., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone, on the meeting. It was wonderful. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Sedona, Arizona this morning. However, I am from New Mexico. This is our closing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.